My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth, part of the Secret Recordings Network, back with a brand new episode, but not a brand new guest. No, we have a returning guest on this episode, Stephen. Now, he's a pre-pandemic guest. Since we last spoke to him, yes, he's been back to Disney World, but he has also, with his daughter, been to China, where they visited Disneyland Shanghai. So we've got plenty to talk about with Stephen. We'll find out what's going on in Orlando and Walt Disney World on this episode, and your questions will be asked if you set them. You can drop me a message at PodMagical across the socials if you want to be a guest, if you've got any tips you'd like to share, or any questions you want to ask. At PodMagical, send me a DM is where you need to go. Hello to Simon. We are considering Caribbean Beach for our next Disney World stay. However, my son has a fear of cable cars. Can you still get to all the parks without having to use the cable car? Now, yeah, Caribbean Beach, very popular because of the Skyliner. So you've got the Skyliner that takes you to Hollywood Studios and to Epcot. Now, I've had a little bit of a look at this for you, Simon. And it's not a good answer, not the answer you want. You can get to Hollywood Studios, you can't get to Epcot. So the Skyliner is the main mode of transport from Caribbean Beach to Epcot. Obviously, when it's down or it's raining or the storms, they will put buses on. There is a bus that goes to Hollywood Studios. So, I mean, you could go to Hollywood Studios and get the boat over to International Gateway, Epcot. That's, you know, that's taking you all the way around. But if you want to get the bus from Caribbean Beach to Epcot, there isn't one. So maybe you want to reconsider. Yeah, a lot of people do love Caribbean Beach because of that transport. But a lot of people don't like cable cars. So if you're avoiding the Skyliner, probably not the resort for you. I'm saying if that's the case, what about Port Orleans, French Quarter, another moderate resort, very popular with the Brits. And you've only got one bus station there, one bus stop. So that's quite direct to all the parks. That's just purely on buses, smaller resort as well. So maybe consider that one. It looks like Caribbean Beach isn't the resort for you, but moderate wise, Port Orleans, French Quarter. Good luck. Let me know what you book and if you book anything and where you stay. And if you want to get in touch, please do at PodMagical. Here is something I like to do. I like to say welcome back to the podcast every now and then. So let's say welcome back to the podcast, Stephen.
Hey, Andy, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. Now, it has been 7 years since you were on.
Yeah, it has been about that time since I was on with you back in about 2019.
Oh, you were the last before we couldn't go.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we just got...
But you've been back since?
We have. We went to Orlando a couple of years after.
Right, yeah.
I had a fantastic time, and that was my first chance to go to Homecoming, because I know you'd recommended it.
Had you not been to Homecoming last time you were on the podcast?
No, hadn't been to Homecoming. Guardians wasn't there. There was a whole bunch of stuff that we really wanted to go back and do. So we did that, and then my daughter and I, my youngest daughter and I, not that long back from Shanghai Disney.
So you've been to, since last we spoke, you've been to Walt Disney World and you've been to Disneyland in Shanghai.
We have, yeah.
All right. We've got lots to talk about on this episode. Let's go back to Disney World then. Because since 2019, like you say, you've never been to Homecoming before and there's so many new things. Let's have a look at some of your favourite things now. Sure. If I was to say, what is your favourite Walt Disney World attraction now? What would you say?
It would now be Guardians.
Yeah.
It would be a couple of reasons. One, it's a fast ride and a cool ride, great build up, but it's also really smooth. So both of my daughters, who have different thresholds in terms of the sort of rides they want, we ride as a family, love the music. So Guardians would now be our favourite. We're looking forward to going back when we don't have to get up early and log on to get a loading time.
Oh, were you on that? Yeah, because they've got rid of that now. You can just pay your way on now. Well, I suppose you could before, but yeah, there's no, there's no doing that at 7 o'clock every morning. I just kind of enjoyed doing that. I became a game in the end there, especially when I got bored in group two that once.
Oh wow!
Yeah, but now you just got to go and wait. So, what, can you remember what we said last time was your favourite attraction?
Yeah, it was Tower of Terror.
Tower of Terror. So it's slipped down it's to number two now.
But it would be number two now, yeah.
Yeah, okay. What about favourite restaurants? You've been to Homecoming now. Is it up there?
Yeah, Homecoming was really good. I loved Homecoming. I had the chicken and donuts.
Of course you did. Of course you did. You're taking my advice, Stephen.
It was so good. We had Sebastian's as well, and I know a lot of people have said that.
Yeah, again.
It just punches so far above its weight. One of my daughters is largely plant-based. The options was fantastic. It was so, so good. And last time we were there was also the first time with the new transport,
the Skyliner. So where did you stay last time?
Trying to think. Where did we stay? We stayed on the property where Sebastian's is.
Oh, on Caribbean Beach.
Caribbean Beach, yeah.
Yeah.
It was big. We really liked it. I'd go back.
Now, last time we were on the podcast, we were talking about going to Disney with disabilities and using the FastPass system. Has that changed for you?
Well, not in terms of our needs, no. But last time we went back, I have to say, again, there's a lot of... There have been some changes to the system. And now, I think previously they focused on people with disabilities. They got on. And now it's very much about your ability to queue.
Yeah.
And for us... for various reasons, my oldest daughter would have a difficulty queuing. We might have to leave the queue very quickly. So we got a VPN. We spoke to them on a video a week or two before we went. And when we got there, it was all set up, ran really smoothly. And as you know, it's not about just getting onto rides, but you go to a ride, they give you a comeback time, which is broadly equivalent to the length of the queue at that point. And then you can go and do something else, get some shade, get some food, do whatever. And then you go back at the right time and you get on the ride. But it works, I have to say, for us, it still works really, really, really well.
I always like to find out as well, people who've been before the pandemic and after the pandemic, because I think in that window of when the world stopped, Disney made a lot of changes. You know, lightning lanes were brought in and they got rid of like free transport from the airport and things like that. Did you notice a difference when you went back? This time? Last time?
You know, we noticed there were some differences. We had to book our parks each day at that point as well, so we had to tell them which park we were going to.
Yeah.
So that was definitely one of the differences. I hope this changes again, because I know that I think for the first time we felt in some places the Americans might say we were being nickeled and dimed a little bit. It did feel like everything cost that. No, just had gone up by inflation, but everything had a little bit more. So one example, we ate at Ohana. Love it. It's fantastic. And we ate at Boma as well. And normally, if you have the big buffet, there's a drink included. I think at Boma, they call it, is it Jungle Juice they call it at Boma?
Jungle Juice, or Jumbo Juice or Og Juice. It's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And straight away, our server was like, what do you want to drink? Gave us the drinks menu. And previously, when we've been, it's always been, here's the drink that's included and you can trade up.
Awesome.
But this one, it just felt a little, we're going to pay for that. The lightning lanes, well, you can pay for that. And they're quite expensive, if you know, some days.
Yeah.
So I felt that. I hope that changes again, because, it's expensive enough to go. And some of those moments of magic are just wonderful. And I think part of that feeling of the magic is, it's over and above. You've paid for it, and now we're going to make your day magical. So we did.
Yeah.
I think we all came away feeling that it's small, but it made us think a little bit.
I think sadly the days of free fast passes are long gone.
I'm sure that's true. But the
price of those lightning lanes are going to go. I'm kind of glad they've gone back to the old way of being able to pre-book three attractions. But I think in terms of it being free, it's just going to get more.
No,
more
I think it's that's right. I don't think that's coming back. But I think it was just some of the other pieces where you're thinking, okay, this is everything just feels like it's and now. But we had a great time. We had a fantastic time.
Stephen is with us on this episode of the podcast. He's back on the podcast because he was on in 2019. But since then, obviously, he's been back to Disney World. But since then, you've also been to China. to Shanghai, to Disney?
We did. I went towards the end of last year. I went with one of my daughters. We were actually lucky enough to go to China, and we had a tour around. So we went to Shanghai, we went to Beijing, we flew across to Seoul, and then we spent our last 3 days at Shanghai Disney.
Incredible. Let me just ask you about booking the flights and the visas. Did you buy the Chinese visa, or did you do the guest visa where you fly into one country, out of another, and then back? Because you said you went to Seoul. So did you do that?
I think I could have done, but I wasn't confident enough. I bought my visa. It was actually relatively straightforward. You filled the form in online. I think there's four or five centres you can go to and pick up the visa. So there's a bit of investment. I can't remember how much it cost. I think it's just over £100. And you have to go twice, once to apply, and then once you leave your passport with them, and then you go back 2 days later to pick up your passport.
So when you get to China, then that's pretty much straightforward. You just show your passport. There's a visa there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I have to. So my daughter and all the rest of my family have Irish passports as well as British passports. And if you're from anywhere else in the EU, you don't need a visa. So if anybody's thinking, I want to go, and you happen to have an Irish passport or a Spanish or Italian passport, as many people do, you don't need a visa.
Wow, I didn't know
that.
So
we actually got in separate queues when we got there.
Yeah.
Because if there's a separate queue for first-time visa entry. That said, I think we waited all of 15 minutes in the queue. Super efficient. Got up there, and you're thinking, I don't know about when you went, you're thinking, this feels very different. This feels like a different sort of, regime. It's obviously incredibly different culture.
Terrifying. I was terrified.
Yeah.
I had no reason to be.
Do you know what? You really don't. We got there. The bags were there. We'd ordered a car to pick us up. I think we use this Didi a lot, which is incredibly efficient,
like Uber,
incredibly cheap. Yeah. Uber, and in fact, I got that from your recommendation as well.
Yeah.
And it was so easy. And then when we checked into Toy Story as we were coming home.
Oh, that's where I stayed. I'll just say as well, if anybody hasn't quite got a clue what we're talking about with visas and stuff, if you go back to last year, there's an entire episode where I talk about going to China and Disneyland Shanghai. So if you need any advice or tips about getting in the country, first of all, and getting around or paying for things, because it's a minefield, have a listen to that episode. But so you got in the country fine, you had your visa, you stayed at Toy Story. How did you find that?
Yeah, it was fabulous. I think the other thing that did concern us actually was about being able to communicate, get on Maps, get on WhatsApp. And I bought an all-in-one eSIM, which included a firewall. And I think I paid something like £40 for just over 2 weeks. And everything worked. I didn't have one problem anywhere. Unlimited data. I had all WhatsApp. I could do everything online, Gmail, Google. Everything was terrific. So again, if you're going, just get there's a few companies out there. I think I used Holofly, but there's a few of them out there that where you buy one eSIM, super easy to set up, and that gives you everything you need in terms of access through the firewall. And we arrived at Toy Story Hotel. If you go to Toy Story Hotel, it's so hard not to have a photograph with Woody and Buzz. They seem to be ever present.
They were always around, yeah.
They really are. So, yeah. And I thought the theming of the hotel was really good. The price of the hotel was good. Our room was – it was everything you expect, I think. And you're pretty close to the action. I think we're probably about a 10-15-minute walk from the park, 15 minutes maybe.
Yeah, because that's where I stayed. There was a shuttle bus on, but – the queues always look massive, and I'm thinking, Tom, I'm queuing. I can literally see where the park is, down a road, across a road, and down another road, and it's quite easy to find.
Yeah.
Did you have the breakfast buffet out of interest in the hotel?
We didn't, no. So, in fact, what we did is on the first day, since we got there, we went and we actually bought something. We went to the Paperstone Bakery. We bought some croissants and stuff for breakfast, and the next day we decided on the first day we would get the bus just so we knew where we were going in, because it dropped you right at the queue where you get to go in. We got in the queue pretty early, because I think the first bus is at 7,
right?
And we were in the we were awake and excited, so we were down about 6:35. We were on the first bus out, and we had the pastries. If I go again, I won't be buying it at Paperstone Bakery, because if you get in the shuttle bus, because they come along and will sell you a croissant while you're in the queue, which was
brilliant,
which was fantastic.
Perfect.
But we were in the queue. We got to the front. We had our passport, which is also acts as your ticket. You don't have a separate ticket. You show your passport. You do the normal thing through the X-ray machines. And by 7:20, the park officially opens at 7:30, I think, to guests of the hotel. By 7:20, we were in the park.
That easy. But you have to make sure that when you're getting your tickets, when you're going online to purchase your tickets for the parks, that your name is exactly as it appears on your passport. Because basically, when you get to the gates, like you say, you don't have a ticket, they scan your passport and that's your ticket for entry. And I saw somebody in front of me, I don't know what was going on, but they'd like missed their middle name off their passport.
Yeah, I think some people who use their middle name as their first name or whatever they might do. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. If you've got three, four names on your passport, you have three or four names on everything.
It's got to be. And how did you book it, by the way? Did you just go on to book it online on the normal Disneyland Shanghai website?
We booked everything through Disney Shanghai. We booked that. The one thing we had a few more, a little bit of difficulty working out how we booked, was we did eat at the Royal Banquet Hall.
Yeah.
And booking that, you had to make a call to get a booking, and then you had to go online closer to the date to actually buy the voucher, which included the fireworks piece. Mm-hmm. We worked it out, but that was a little bit more complicated. But I have to say, everything else, whether it's actually in Shanghai and Beijing itself or in the park, it was so easy to navigate. Surprisingly easy to navigate.
So let's talk about the parks then. What did you like about it? What did you love about it? Anything you hated about it?
Oh, there was nothing we hated about it. It was it's big. We got in and we went straight. I hadn't been on Tron because Tron was just trialing last time we left Orlando. So we went straight to Tron.
Yeah.
And that was it. We were in. We were sold. and we looked there. There's some good rides and some great rides. The good rides, we like things like the Voyage to the Crystal Grotto, where we want a little bit of downtime. There's a lovely little boat ride that just takes you through some scenes, nothing special, but it's a nice, good wind down ride after, maybe after a lunch. And then when you get off, you have the most amazing views of the castle. And the castle is huge.
Yeah, you can't really explain how big that castle is, can you?
No, I was expecting big, and both when we got there, both of us went, wow. And we did all the things you'd expect, Slinky Dog Spin, Peter Pan's flight, we thought was probably better than the others we've been on. Actually, we thought Peter Pan was really good. I wish they had a It's a Small World. They need an It's a Small World just to make it into a Disney for us. but then a lot of it's very familiar, but a little bit different. So Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, very familiar, but they sing in Mandarin, apart from the Hi Ho bit. They sing in Mandarin. And then we went on to Soarin' Over the Horizon. Yeah, very familiar. But the views you're looking at that a little bit different. I think you land in Shanghai, don't you?
I think at the very end scene, they adapt it for Shanghai.
So yeah, I love that it was all because we've been to Disney a few times. I love that familiarity, but with a twist.
And we've not even mentioned Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, there were some great rides as well. Yeah, the two things. Two couple of things that stood out for us. The whole Zootropolis, Zootopia, tomato, I don't know.
Yep.
My goodness, the theming of that land is unbelievable. So we love just being around there. Zootopia Hot Pursuit is the ride that they have there, the big ride.
Yeah, just the one ride in that.
Just one ride. But we spent, I don't know, probably 45 minutes an hour just walking around the land. So there's, again, a few differences in the people that perhaps go. There weren't many Westerners there. I think we were surprised at how few there were. And what we did notice is a lot of people love dressing up. Actually, we were there around Halloween, so that probably made it even more so. Halloween's not as big there. I mean, they clearly have a whole different culture around ghosts, but dressing up was really big, and the characters of many of them were in costume. But the photograph, you have to queue for photographs in Zootropolis, but they were fantastic. The traffic lights on different heights, the different size seats and the cars, extraordinary. And we loved Zootopia.
Yeah.
And then
so much detail.
Oh, amazing. And then we went on Pirates.
And
you know, you were saying people can't tell you, you know, you can't imagine how big the castle is. Pirates isn't Pirates, as you know it,
yeah.
Is it?
It's, not at all.
It's, you know, it might be my favourite ride of... I've been to Paris and Florida and now Shanghai. I think Pirates might be my favourite ride of all of the parks I've been to.
Did you know much of what to expect? Because I wasn't expecting the boat to move the way it did. I thought, oh, it's just like the Pirates boat. It's just going to float through as normal.
Yeah. I kind of did, because on the flight out, on the flight out, they had a video, several videos on rides, Disney rides, and how they make them, where they came from.
Yeah.
And there was a whole video on Pirates, and not just, they went through the history of Pirates in Orlando and Pirates in different parks. And one of the really lovely things is they took all the Imagineers from around that had worked on Pirates in different countries and different parks, and they were in Shanghai. I don't know if you noticed, they took water from every Pirates land,
yeah,
and put it into the water in Shanghai. So when you're riding Pirates in Shanghai, the water that's come from all the different pirates around the world. So I knew a little bit, but some of the effects there. You blink and you miss it, but that Jack Sparrow...
like a transformation scene.
Transformation,
yeah.
Is mind-blowing. And then, I'm sure people will go, not too many spoilers, but when you start sinking,
yeah,
that's when you think, what? It's huge. Everywhere you look, it's the projection is phenomenal, and it moves then from projection to the, you know, the ships that have actually been built there.
Yeah, it's like live set pieces and projection, but the projection is kind of like used as a bit of a backing in a way. It's not it's not all projections. They've really used it well.
It was fantastic. We got off it and we went straight back on.
Yeah,
and we rode it several times every day. And on our last day, we had a list of attractions that we wanted to ride, and we got on. So one little tip: if you're getting on Pirates. What we did is we choose the shortest lane, and there were two boats they filled up. We got in the right-hand lane, always moved quickly. We were always on sort of middle back of the second boat. We thought, if we get in the left-hand lane, we're either going to be on the back of the first boat. Oh, sorry. They have three queues. One does the back of the second boat. One does the back of the first, the front of the second. And we got in the very left-hand lane that does sort of the first two-thirds, I guess, of the front boat. And as we went through, we looked like we were going to be in the second lane. We just smiled and said, can we wait? And the person just said, absolutely. So we rode on the front a couple of times, which is
where you need to be.
You get a great view anywhere, but riding in the front was fantastic. So on our last day, we said, right, we got a ride on the Pirates, and we got on Pirates. I looked at my daughter and I said, this is the last time we're going to ride it. We were halfway around, she went, it's not the last time we're going to ride it, is it? We're going straight back on it. So Pirates is astonishing.
And they've got the whole land. It's not just the Pirates of the Caribbean Tracks. It's the entire Pirates land. There's a galleon you can walk around. There's restaurants. There's a show which wasn't on when I went. It was down when I went. Did you manage to see the pirate show? How was that? Did you know what was going on?
Disappointing. Hadn't got a clue what was going on, and hadn't got really... You had to stand. And I think that was the one... The one thing where we thought, actually, I'm not quite sure that the humour is coming across for us. There's people laughing, and we obviously didn't understand what they were laughing at or see what they're laughing at. That said, we did go to Mickey's Storybook Adventure.
Yes.
What a show. That's a phenomenal show. And again, some of the songs are in Mandarin, and they talk in Mandarin, obviously. But then some of the songs are in English. But it really doesn't matter. The effects of that show, I thought, were absolutely phenomenal.
And the fact that they use Happily Ever After.
Yeah.
From the Happily Ever After fireworks in Orlando, they use that song, but in a
that
different
song.
Way.
Yeah. We loved Mickey's Storybook Adventure.
Yeah.
We loved the parades. They get busy, the parades.
How did you find queues? Did you use any Lightning Lane type ticket or do you just rock up and wait? And how long did you wait on average?
Yeah, that's... So we didn't use any fast tracks of any sort, but we did get there when it opened, and we went straight to Tron, and we went from Tron to Rex Racer. We went from there to Zootopia, and we used single rider where we could.
Yeah,
we did
as you would in any of the Disney parks, really.
Yeah, so, it was fantastic, yeah. And every time we did it, every time, we must have rode Hot Pursuit in Zootopia, maybe 7 or 8 times, and when we did, there was only once where we weren't actually in the same car.
Yeah,
and we did at least we did one early morning where we went again to Tron, but then we went straight to Zootropolis, and we queued. And I would say if you're going and you've done the single rider, you have to queue at least once for Zootopia.
Yeah,
because the pre-ride area is phenomenal.
Yeah, you're kind of walking through the film with all the characters, aren't you? And the police station and the
detail again. I mean, it's the jail. Disney. Yeah, the jail and the different the different size photographs and desks was fantastic.
Always good first time you're doing an attraction to. I know the temptation is to, rope drop if you want, because then you can walk through the actual ride. But like buying your way in, sometimes you will miss a lot of the queues. But especially if you're with a group of people, is going on the queue, take the queue in, ride it all together, and then once you've done it once, do it again. But then, like you say, single rider it, and it doesn't matter if you get split up, does it?
Yeah. So we probably the longest we waited was probably about 45 minutes for Tron in the evening. And what we did notice was, and I think this is common with Disney, but particularly here, that if it said 75 minutes, you were going to wait 45.
Yeah.
They really overestimated the time that you had to queue. Then again, the first day there, we said, right, we're really about experiencing this, doing the rides, looking at the lands, characters. Yeah, well, not so important.
You didn't want to meet Lina Bell or...
Well, that lasted about an hour. We met Mickey and Minnie at the Royal Banquet Hall.
Yeah.
I think when you went, they weren't wearing, they were wearing like trainers.
Yes. So we went to the Royal Banquet Hall. I was expecting them to be like dressed quite regally. And they were wearing like baseball caps, shell suits, trainers.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think it was something to do with the theme of the season, I think. But going at Halloween, what were they wearing in there then?
Well, no, they were all in Regal outfit.
Okay, maybe everything was in the wash.
Yeah,
maybe. I was just timed it. Where else did you eat, by the way, besides there? Anywhere else?
Yeah, we ate a couple places. So Royal Banquet Hall we liked. I think it's a little bit style over substance. The food tasted fine, but looked amazing. And the real reason for eating there is people queue early for fireworks, and if you eat there, we got the ticket where you go and then you get into the front of the fireworks. So we didn't have any queuing. We had a completely unobstructed sitting down view of the fireworks. Was great. We ate in Barbossa's Bounty, which is the restaurant which is in Pirates.
Right.
And we liked that enough. We also, though, we've been in China a couple of weeks, so we were craving a little bit of Western food.
We've been
in China. Donald's Dine and Delights.
Yes.
Fabulous.
I keep wanting to call it Disney Springs or Downtown Disney. Yes. What's it called? I can't think what it's called, that area that's just outside the park.
It's not this Disney Town.
Disney Village or Disney that, yeah. It's like Disney Springs, but it's literally right outside the park.
In fact, there's
an entrance in the park that gets you.
We use the entrance in the park. In fact, that's where we went in early. You go through there. And the Donald's Dine and Delights we used twice. Fantastic pizzas, really, really good burgers. So we ate there a couple of times. We thought that was great. Cinnamon Swirl from Cookie Ann. We got while we were waiting for a parade. So they were the most. Donald's Dine Delights was probably our favourite. Barbossa's Bounty was good, convenient, and fine. Royal Banquet Hall, great for meeting characters. Fantastic setting. Amazing photographs of food, and the food tastes fine.
And did you suss out how to pay for everything as well with your Alipay app?
Yeah, and again, we used Alipay everywhere. We got over the cash when we first got there, and that cash was still in our pocket when we left.
Yeah, nobody takes it.
Even small vendors on street. Everybody uses Alipay. It's extraordinarily easy, probably a bit too easy, but it was fantastic. Yeah, we had no trouble. Again, once we had the eSIM, we had always had connectivity, Alipay worked fine. So we used Alipay everywhere. We had no problem accessing menus. Again, in some of the restaurants we went to outside Disney, you used Alipay to look at what you were going to eat.
Yeah, you order from it as well. So Alipay, it's an app that's connected to your credit card, and then there's QR codes on the table, and you scan the QR code, and it goes through Alipay, and it brings you the menu up in English, and then you order from that and pay from that. So all they then do is bring you the food. It makes it really easy.
The character meats were different as well. So I think you get longer with them in Shanghai.
Yeah.
It's very much about it's a very social media, lots of Instagram. So again, lots of people dress up. There was a lot of adults dressed up, which was not what we're used to. Not just for a special event, just even in Shanghai, there's a very that particular aesthetic. But you did. We probably queued between 20 and 40 minutes for characters, and we met Carl, Russell. We met Moana. We met a whole bunch of Nick and Judy, which was fantastic. However, we did not queue to meet Lena Bell.
Yeah, Duffy and Friends, they're the big characters. they're the ones you're going to wait for over there.
Lena Bell, and I've got a screenshot of the map. The last day we were there, the queue was 450 minutes.
Wow. And people will wait to meet
7.5 wow. hours.
That's your day. That's your day gone.
Your day's done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Whenever she appeared, it was like, it was like royalty to people.
Yeah, she
people
is.
People just
there.
Burst into spontaneous applause.
Yeah, they love her. Yeah.
It was great. Yeah.
She's a goddess over there.
She is.
What do you think about the shops? Did you go into the little Chip and Dale shop that they've got over there in the Winnie the Pooh shop?
Yeah, we had a Chip and Dale, Chip and Dale ice cream. That sort of it comes in a little acorn-y cone while we were waiting to meet some characters. We had that. So yeah, it's we know that a lot of Disney is essentially a shop with a park attached. we did. And one of the great things we found actually was we did all the rides, and then so 2 days we essentially did rope drop to fireworks, and the fireworks a little earlier. People were so friendly, incredibly non-judgmental of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Tron and Zootopia at night are really quite different to others they are in the day. And we'd come off Tron and we were going to get to the fireworks, and we could hear this music. And there was this sort of massive stage with these dancers and a DJ playing all these pop songs.
In Tomorrowland?
As you came out of Tron, just across the way. And as the needle dropped, everybody who had been to the shops and bought their characters, they all held them up aloft and started waving them to time to the music. it was completely crazy, wonderful fun, and people were just dancing. It was, I'd say, it was the atmosphere.
Yeah,
not just from the characters, but from the people there. Queuing, you get bumped a little bit sometimes.
That was something that people warned me about, people shoving in front of queues, but I never experienced that, to be honest.
No, in the queues we found that people didn't respect personal space. They might brush up against you a bit more than they would elsewhere, but nobody pushed in front of us.
Yeah.
But it was a bit more, maybe perhaps a bit more intimate in places than we're used to.
It's Disney as you know it, but appreciate different culture when you're flying.
Yeah, and I know it's a long way away and you have to pay for a flight. But I have to say the value you get there was fantastic. I can't remember how much exactly we paid, but I think we were paying not much more than £100 a night for the room in Toy Story. The food is really relatively inexpensive. Even the park tickets, well, we bought, you can't buy a 3-day park ticket, but we bought a 2 and a 1. And it's probably half the price you're paying in Orlando.
Yeah. So, what do you think of Shanghai? You went to Shanghai as well? Quickly, do you?
Shanghai. It's very friendly. It's so easy to find your way around. We obviously used Alipay to get around on the metro. The metro maps are in English as well as all the local languages. The announcements are in English. If you're thinking of going and you're thinking, maybe it's going to be a bit too difficult to navigate, we loved Shanghai. And the food in Shanghai was amazing
and really cheap,
incredibly cheap,
really cheap,
and really completely wonderful.
Yeah, Did you go into Shanghai from Disney, or did you move from Toy Story Hotel and stayed into Shanghai for a while?
Yeah, so we actually flew into Shanghai, a few days in Shanghai. Then we traveled around. We went to Seoul, we went to Beijing. We got the train from Beijing. And so essentially we regard ourselves as having done a four city visit. We did Shanghai, Seoul, Beijing, Disney. So
incredible.
When we went to Disney, we were on Disney. And I think the other thing that we noticed is if they say something's going to start at 2 o'clock, it's going to start at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Not a minute to two, not a minute past two. We stayed in the hotel very close to the airport to come back, and they said there's a shuttle at 8. And we saw some people coming out of the lift with their bags at 2 minutes past 8. They were not getting the shuttle.
Nope.
We're done. You wait. So I really like that. The trains, it's cliche, but the trains, we got a 10 o'clock train from Beijing, and we counted down, and we were traveling extraordinarily high speeds. We could talk to each other. We had drinks on the table. They weren't moving. It's a really wonderful, beautiful country. The people were fantastic. And we will go back.
And in terms of the Disneys, now you've done three, Paris, Orlando, Shanghai. Which one would your favourite be?
It would just be Orlando.
Yeah.
Because Shanghai was great, and we kind of had a couple of days there. We had two and a half really full days, and we loved it to pieces. But there wasn't a water park attached. There wasn't the studio park attached. And I think just with Animal Kingdom and Epcot, when we go there again, we go with my other daughter if we go there, and so we won't do full days. But you can easily spend over a week just in the parks and barely repeat anything.
Yeah, you're comparing one park in Shanghai to four parks, two water parks, and all the resorts in Orlando and Disney Springs. It's never going to match that yet.
No.
But who knows what they're going to build over there. Maybe they're trying to catch up.
Yes.
As we are talking about Walt Disney World, as we come back full circle to Disney World, last time we were on the podcast, I didn't ask you this. So if I was to give you your perfect day at Walt Disney World, going back to Florida, how would you spend your perfect Disney World day?
Ooh, so if I could stay anywhere.
Yeah, because what you want, do what you want.
Yeah.
Eat what you want, anything.
I think I would stay at the Polynesian.
Okay.
Love the Polynesian. I think I'd probably have breakfast there. I don't know if they still do that Tonga toast, the toast with the...
with the banana in it.
Banana in it.
Yeah, yeah. You can get that in Captain Cook's.
We would definitely start with that. I think I'd be... If that was a day, it would be Walt Disney World for me that we would go to. Probably start with Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Okay, yeah.
I love Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I think Pirates. And then I'm not a Space Mountain fan, but Big Thunder Mountain, I think we would go to. A couple of goes on Buzz Lightyear. And then if we might change parks, I'd have lunch, and then we would change parks and head to Epcot to go on Guardians.
Your favourite ride now?
My favourite ride now, yeah. So the one ride I'm going to miss, just I want the day to be practical. I'm not going to get on Twilight, so I'm going to assume that the day before I've been on Twilight Tower of Terror. So we'd hit Guardians. And then, you know, I would love to spend the last couple of hours just walking around and eating and drinking just around the lagoon.
That is a perfect day, isn't it? Just taking in the vibes.
Yeah. And, you know, there's quite a few rides that I would do. But I think if I don't go to Disney for the rides, then maybe, you know, a third, you've got the shows, the rides. And I think the thing that's very hard to put your finger on why it's so good is, as you say, it's the vibes, it's the detail, it's the cast members, it's just all of that detail, it's the interaction with the characters. There are other parks that have bigger rides, faster rides, flashier rides. And even have some really good theming, but there's nowhere quite like Disney.
Have you got any plans to go back to any of the parks?
I'm taking my other daughter to Paris in April. We've just got a couple of nights. We're off on the Eurostar.
Okay.
And we're doing that. So last time I went, I have to say we could still get the Eurostar right to Disney. So I do miss.
I miss the, that. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that was great. So we're going to head across there. We've got that, and then we're thinking maybe in a couple of years we'll go back to the US. I'm not super keen to go to the US at the moment, but I'd love to go in a couple of years' time, maybe. My wife is not the biggest Disney fan, so we're thinking we might look for a bit of a road trip, and we'll start in Nashville, and then we'll drive our way down Florida and end in Disney. So maybe 2028, let the football go, let the World Cup go.
President go.
Let the president go. And then myself and my other daughter, the one who's got this wanderlust, we started talking about could we get to Tokyo.
Well, so, you're three castles in.
Three castles in. We're definitely going to Paris. We'll definitely get back to Orlando. Tokyo, that's a little bit more up in the air, but I'd be disappointed and surprised if in the next 3 or 4 years, we'd, at least two of us don't find ourselves there.
Well, maybe in 7 years' time, you can come back on the podcast again. Why not? You've completed all of them. Well, there'll be another park by then, probably, won't there, in the Middle East?
Yeah.
Great catching up with you. It's been great to be able to talk to somebody about Disneyland Shanghai. Because not many people have been there, but it's definitely worth the effort, isn't it?
It's so worth the effort.
Stephen, for now, have a magical day.
Have a magical day. Thanks, Andy.
If you'd like to join me on the podcast to chat all things Disney World or China or France or LA or Japan or Hong Kong, whatever, I'll chat to anybody about any Disney park. Give me a shout at PodMagical is where we are. There are currently no festivals running at Epcot if you go in over the next few days. However, from the 4th of March, it's the return of the Flower and Garden Festival. The toberries are already out. The food and wine has been released. And there is the Garden Rocks concert series, a mixture of tribute acts and known names. In fact, it starts with a tribute act. If you see ABBA on the lineup, no, ABBA are not performing at Epcot, but there's an ABBA tribute act opening in the Garden Rocks this year, followed by Simple Plan, Billy Ocean, 15th and 16th of March. Meanwhile, Universal have got their Mardi Gras featuring RuPaul this coming Saturday. RuPaul's doing a DJ set at Universal this Saturday. Next weekend, you can catch Shaggy down there as well. So there's lots going on. A new festival every other week in Orlando. Meanwhile, I've got a top tip to end the episode on. And this is about the parade, the daytime parade over at Magic Kingdom. Do you want to see the Maleficent Dragon in full on flames, like when it breathes the fire? Well, and this seems quite obvious when you think about it, don't stand where there's trees, because it might set the trees on fire, so it doesn't breathe the fire when it's around trees. So you kind of, if you want to watch the parade, maybe in front of the castle. I mean, in front of the castle is a great place to watch the parade. Or further up by Town Hall Square, if you want to see Maleficent's dragon full on breathing fire, then that's where you need to be for the parade at the Magic Kingdom. There's your top tip for this episode. I'm going to be back in 2 weeks, a brand new episode, which, all being well, will be a trip report from California, Adventures by Disney, where I'll be going backstage in Disneyland, Disney Imagineering, and the Disney Film Studios. Yes, it's my Adventures by Disney trip that should have happened in January last year and got cancelled. So it's been rescheduled. Hopefully, at the time of you listening to this podcast, I'll be on my way. And then hopefully, by the time I get back, I'll be able to talk about it on a podcast. So that's the next episode. Please subscribe, whether it's Apple or Spotify or Amazon. Hit that subscribe button if you can give us a 5-star review as well. That's always brilliant. Back in a couple of weeks. Until then, please stand clear of the doors.